Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you've just joined us, it's time to talk company results. And earlier, you might have heard me speak to the market commentator about a REIT that has been listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange since 2004. Since then, we've seen considerable levels of growth from this entity, which continues to diversify its asset base, not only in South Africa, but also in Southeastern Europe, specifically markets like Spain and Portugal. To talk to us about their disciplined capital deployment, recent acquisitions they've participated in, and even increasing their dividend per share to their shareholders, we join now by the CEO of Vukile Property Fund, Lawrence Rapp. Mr. Rapp, always good to touch base with you.
How are you, Gogo? Great to see you again.
Excited to speak to you. You're in a shirt and a tie today, so I can imagine a very serious day talking numbers, huh?
Results are important. I have to dress well.
Definitely. Aside from dressing well, you certainly work well with your team. Just taking a look at your total property assets now exceeding 50 billion rand, a tight strategy in terms of acquisitions abroad, but also in South Africa. Talk us through a few of the highlights that really stood out for you.
Sure, Gogo, it really has been a tremendous year, and we're delighted with the results. So I'd say key to everything this year has been the sale of our stake in Lar España. That netted a profit of 82 million euros for our shareholders. And we were then able to recycle that money together with other money that we've raised to buy a number of assets. Firstly, was a real top 10 asset in Spain called Benares Shopping Center in Valencia. That was for 305 million euros. We then also made the decision to enter Portugal. We felt that that would be our next great step for Castellana to take to expand its business. We bought four assets there during the financial year and then followed that up in May with a fifth asset. So all in all, we've bought five assets now in Portugal for 323 million euros. So it's been a very, very active year for us. We've grown our direct asset base by some 70% over the last 14 months. And aside from that being, I would like to say, a very good achievement, what it really does do is set up the next growth curve for Vukile and Castellana going forward in terms of what we've bought, not only in terms of the accretion we'll get from the assets themselves, but in terms of the value-added projects that we feel we will be able to implement in all of the assets that we've bought. And that really has been a very strong hallmark of what we've done historically in Castellana, but equally in the South African business as well.
I'm intrigued to find out what that entails, especially given that this is a complete shift from where Vukile Property Fund was well over a decade and a half ago. Much more of your portfolio is exposed to Portugal as well as Spain. And as you say, this next growth curve, does that mean diversifying into other asset classes within the property space or additional services that you'll provide within that realm? Give us some color.
So we definitely won't go into other asset classes. We are retail specialists, and I think investors can be absolutely confident they won't see us popping up in offices or industrial. Okay. We know retail, and we do what we do. We don't do anything else. But we may well look into other markets in due course. I don't think that's immediately on the agenda. Still within Europe. That's not immediately on the agenda. We're still doing homework and understanding. We, you know, obviously try and stay as close as possible to developments in numerous markets to understand them and what their drivers are. And we do think that there is opportunity. That being said, it sort of sits behind extracting value from existing assets and buying new individual assets in our core markets. And then post that, we sort of do look at other geographies as well. But that's very, very early stage research based at the moment, as opposed to actively looking to enter any new market.
Mm-hmm. Got you on that one. What I am intrigued by is just an understanding as well about what makes these markets, specifically Portugal now as a new entrant, so attractive, especially from a macroeconomic point of view, where you will be challenged not only by ensuring that your yields perform, but ensuring that you also have a great level of tenant retention and occupancy within your shopping malls.
Sure. Look, I think obviously when we look at a market, we're looking at what the macroeconomic picture looks like, what the prospects are for the economy. But I would say even a greater driver is, what does the industry structure look like? Okay. What is the nature of shopping center ownership? Is it very concentrated? Is it fragmented? Who are the owners? How have they managed the centers up to now? What is the likelihood of new capacity coming on stream? So what we found in Spain, and the same is true in Portugal, they're very fragmented markets. We've gone in there really as the consolidator. So today we own 21 shopping centers and retail parks across the two markets. I think we must be the biggest landlord in terms of number of properties.
Sure.
Okay. But what we also found is that many of the assets were owned by financial owners. In other words, these are private equity funds. And what they tended to do was buy assets and sell them based on yield, expansion, and contraction. Okay.
Gotcha.
Not really driving bottom-up value in terms of, have I got the right tenant mix? Am I promoting the center well? Are my rental levels correctly? Am I maintaining the center? That's our bread and butter. That's our core competence. So we felt that by going into these markets where there are perhaps undermanaged assets in a fragmented environment, we could A, consolidate the market, and B, bring our expertise to manage the assets better. And I think that's what we've done consistently over the last number of years.
That's refreshing to hear. It's not just about deal flow, but really about value accretion, essentially, that's being created in that market. Just for context now, Lawrence, does this mean that you do have a heightened split in terms of exposure to South Africa in the property space versus Eastern Europe? What's that metric now?
Well, Western Europe, we're 65% of our assets are in Western Europe versus 35% in SA. Earnings in the year ahead, probably I would say about 60% of the earnings will come from Spain and Portugal versus 40 in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Let's come a little closer to home now with regard to the South African market. Earlier this year, we did speak to your colleague, the MD of Vukile Properties Southern Africa, Itumeleng Mutibedi, who gave us some insight into a few of the new acquisitions, specifically Mthatha Mall, and some of the developments that we see locally. But I'm keen to understand from a group perspective, given the overriding strategy that you've just described, what does this tell us about the South African market and its nuances, specifically in retail? You know, is there just a lack of growth within the space?
So I think, you know, is there a lack of growth? No. If you look at our operating results, you can see the growth is there. Is there growth in terms of a lot of new acquisitions that we can make? That is more challenging. Because I think what you found in South Africa, retail has always been a stable asset class. And those people that own good quality retail are generally not sellers. And if they do want to sell, they sell at very high prices. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we are used to doing. We want to pay good value for the right assets. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think we are also in a situation where it's unlikely that you'll see a whole lot of new assets being built in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So we are still very active in the market, always looking for opportunities, but the number of opportunities here is limited versus what we're seeing in Europe, not because of lack of growth, ironically, because of the strength of the asset class. And if you own a good shopping center, well, why sell it? What are you going to do with the money? So we keep looking, but it is harder to find deals here.
Makes sense. And I guess this is also part of your reflections, Lawrence. You've been in the business as CEO since 2011, if I'm not mistaken, and you've directed this institution steadily through pandemics, through financial crises, through low and high interest rates, ever-evolving yields, and shifting consumer dynamics, even when it comes to your tenant mix. And I'm keen to understand, as you, I guess, just reflect on the last 10 years, and most importantly, what new evolutions might be shaping the retail environment locally and abroad, what stands out top of mind for you?
That's a brilliant question. You know, I think the issue that retail is a dynamic, organism. Mm-hmm. And the nature of property ownership has changed. It's not simply a case of I have a property and I collect the rent. It's I have a business and my business is owning shopping centers. And just as if I might be a retailer selling clothes and I'm going to have to market my, you know, market appropriately and have the right merchandising and the right fashion to get people and the right price point to get people into my center, how do I think about my shopping center in that same kind of vein? How do I get people in? So we are hugely excited about that development of real estate, but retail in particular, becoming more of an operating asset class. And with that means that you've always got to be at the forefront of consumer trends to understand that. How do you understand that move, for example, from formal wear to athleisure. Right? Look at me, look at you. I guess one of us didn't get the memo. Okay. Although we like your orange top.
Thank you.
That is our colors. But when you look at the growth of athleisure, that was sort of really a move that took place a number of years ago. Now what we're seeing is that move towards more non-discretionary spend, value retail. How do we understand that? And I think the mantra that we keep repeating over and over again in the business is, how do we understand our consumers better than anybody else, as well as the retailers in our center, to understand what those trends are? And I think the realization that you've got to be at the forefront of consumerism to run shopping centers is, for me, a very, very exciting way forward.
Sure. Such phenomenal insights here, Lawrence. I want to take the mickey and say I'm so keen to hear your assessment of 4ways Mall and if you're keen to buy it. But given what you've described, I think I know the answer to that question already. Thanks again for your time this evening, Lawrence. Such a pleasure speaking
you,
to
Gugu.
You, sir.
Take care. Fantastic. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Lawrence Rapp is the CEO of Vukile Property Fund. Next time you drive around Dobsonville Shopping Center, Hill Fox out in the West Rand, or even Thabani Mall as well, or even the most latest mall that we saw in terms of the shift in the name, Mall of Mthatha within the Eastern Cape, those all fall under Vukile Property Fund. You heard me reference the likes of 4ways Mall. Definitely not a mall that they would likely consider, given that Vukile does specialize within the township environment in South Africa. And as you've heard Lawrence Rapp describing, it's really about understanding the shifts in the consumer environment, the customer you serve, and how that ultimately plays an influence on their property investments that they make, but coupled with that, the tenant mix that they have. So that should give you some perspective there. Randburg Square, Remsog Shopping Center, Springs Mall, even the likes of Midrand Builders Center. These are just a few of the assets that they own, including Daveyton Shopping Center, from a South African perspective. But as you've heard, a good 60% of their assets allocated in Western Europe, Portugal and Spain specifically.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.